Why don't you stand to your feet and give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? There is no one like Jesus. Hallelujah. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of all the glory, all the honor. He is great and greatly to be praised. So glad you are here this morning in the presence of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. My prayer is that God would touch you today. You've already been so blessed by the worship, by the ministry, and the Word of God, and I want the Word to go forth today. I have one point, very simple, one point. And I'd like to turn your attention to Judges 16 and 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Everybody say, put out his eyes. Brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. Everybody said, bound him. And he did grind in the prison house. Dear Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Give us a desire, Lord, to live for you above all else in this generation, in this time. Lord, I ask that you touch each and every person here today. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Look at your neighbor once you're seated and say, blind, blind, bound, round and round. Blind, bound, round and round. Blind, bound, round and round. You know, the devil is no respecter of person. It doesn't matter if you are a temporary pew warmer, or if you're a judge or king or potentate. He is no respecter of person. He simply wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's his whole plan. I begin to think in preparation for this service over the last week. Actually, I've been working on this for a couple of weeks, but many of us have different levels of education. All of us have different levels of education. Some of you are born on one side of the tracks or the other. Nothing wrong with that. Some of you have bank accounts. Some of you don't. Some of you have money in a bank account, and some of you don't. We as humans tend to base, well, this didn't affect me personally, or this will affect me because of this. The devil doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care what you have, because everyone under the sound of my voice has a soul. A soul. And that's what he wants. We all possess a soul. We all have one soul. And that's what he's after. So we're on an equal playing field. The devil's aim is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Look at your neighbor and say, blind, bound, round, and round. Bound and round and round. In the story of our text, we find a man by the name of Samson. Who's ever heard of Samson? He was a mighty fighter. And in Judges chapter 16, we find this story of this man. And he had the good looks. He had the strength of 1,000+ men. He had the blessings of God in his life. He even had the promise of God. If you look at the scriptures in Judges 13:5, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And he had these promises and these blessings, and he was somebody. He became somebody. And we're talking about a man who ripped a lion in two with his bare hands. A lion. Now, I've never seen, besides in a zoo, I've never seen a lion face to face that wasn't in captivity right here. But I couldn't imagine a lion coming at me and grabbing it and ripping it in two with my bare hands. I would have dropped dead with a heart attack when he started coming at me. But this man was phenomenal. He was amazing. He single-handedly killed 30 enemies on occasion and 1,000 on another. He was a phenomenal warrior of God. He was a living, breathing weapon of God. But Samson went down to Timnath and saw a Philistine woman there and became infatuated with her. You know, it's amazing how the scriptures, when you start looking at the words, he went down. He went down. Jonah went down. Going down. And many of us make decisions in our life that put us on a downward spiral. But this man went down and he became infatuated with this woman. And he was so enamored with her that he told his father, Father, get her for me, and she pleases me well. And then he gets tired of her, and he gives her to his companion, whom he had used as a friend, the scripture says. And you know, sometimes God chooses people for his work, but those people choose a different way. Every one of us here today have a soul. We've established that we all have one soul, and we all have the power of choice. We can choose. You chose to get up this morning and to come and to attend service today. Thank you for doing that. I applaud you. That is commendable, because you chose to put your soul in a position to grow through the Word of God. So we all have one soul, and we have established now that we have the power of choice. And many people choose, everybody chooses what they will or will not do. Sometimes it's because of circumstances that have come because of a previous choice, but you're still making a choice. One thing I was taught growing up is, do what is in your hands. You have to do what's in your hands at certain times. And there are certain decisions you might look back on and say, well, I wish I hadn't have done that with that situation. But what was in your hands at the time? That's why it's important to have a relationship and a communication and a life of living for Jesus Christ, because then He's in your hands and you have the option and the power of the Word and the power of God on your side, and you have a choice. So we all make choices, and Samson was constantly going back to the enemy's camp to find a companion in the Philistines. And first it was a Philistine woman from Timnath, and then it was he went to Gaza and he finds a prostitute there, and finally he ends up in the valley of Sorek, and he finds a young lady by the name of Delilah. And we've all heard the story of Samson and Delilah. And Samson, he falls in love with this last woman. And you know, if you constantly go back to the things of the old nature, of the old man, of the old ways, of the old failures, and you fall back on the old pleasures and the old contentments, and you're going to eventually be overtaken by them. You've got to let go of the old nature and the old man. You've got to bury the old nature and the old man and the old person that you used to be. And no more lying or cheating or stealing or hurting people. You've got to get rid of that. You've got to lay down the spirit of heaviness and pick up the garments of praise. But if you continually go back and you choose to go back to that old nature and those old habits, it will overtake you, and eventually, when it is finished, it will bring forth death. Blind, bound, and round, and round. And while Brother Valentine was teaching, this thought came to me, and I'd like some assistance. Brother Kevin Giot, would you come help me, please, sir? He's a strong young man. Yes, sir. Big old nice smile. Walking down the aisle really good. This is my buddy. He sends me texts every now and then and checking on me and asking me to pray for him. And I appreciate that. I really do. You're tall. And you're tall. Turn around. So I'm not going to gorge out your eyes today, because I love you and I don't really want to blind you. You got to lift up your head here so I can get this. And I might have to have some. I don't want to smother you. Can you see? No? Hang on. Let's move it like that. Double wrap you. Yeah. Can you see? Can you see anything? Can you hear? Didn't say nothing about it's hearing, so you got to act like you can hear anyway. Can you breathe? Mm-hmm. Can you see? No? How many fingers am I holding up? No, that was wrong. So good. So now you're blind. So you're going to stand here. You're blind. You're standing. Show him your muscles. You're Samson. Yeah. All right. So he's blind. He's blind. You know, and the Bible says he was bound. Now, I don't have brass, you know, but I have some rope Brother Charlie had back there. So blind, bound, round, and round. So we're going to do this like this. Never tied anybody up with a rope like this before, so... Here we go. Here we go. These aren't new cords or old cords, but they are going to be what we're using today. So now you're bound, right? So blind, bound. There you go. Now you're bound. Could you walk over to where Brother Petrie is for me, please? Follow the voice. Now, I'd like for you just to, while I'm teaching this lesson, do the best you can. Go slow, okay? If you run into something, it's okay. But I'd like for you to walk around the outside aisle of the church, because you're blind, now you're bound, and you're going to go round and round, okay? So just make your way this way. Go slow and be careful. If you fall, just get up and try again. Okay, blind, bound, and round and round. Say that with me. Blind, bound, and round and round. The first hint of trouble for Samson should have been when Delilah asked him where his strength was. That should have sent off a warning flag to say, something's not right. He should have asked himself, why was it so important for her to know, especially since she was a Philistine woman and he had already killed so many. Go to your left. She had already killed so many of the Philistines, but this woman that he was staying with and had fallen in love with was a Philistine. And he thinks nothing of the question. And each time she asked, he accommodates her in some way. Just stop right there. Just stand right there, okay? You did good. Just stop. Now you can all look at me right here. So I want to look over there too, so I have to have him stop because I want to see how he's doing. But he's blind, he's bound, and he's going round and round because he didn't know which way to go. So he thinks nothing of the question. And each time that she asks this question, where's your strength at? He answers her and he hates her. And the first thing he told her was that his strength would be sapped if she had seven cords, and she would bind him with seven cords. And she woke him saying, "Samson, they are upon you." And he breaks them and he whips them all. Warning flag. That should have been enough for him to realize and convince him that he was sleeping with the enemy. But it wasn't, because he was blind. Spiritually, he was already blind. They hadn't gorged out his eyes at this point, but he was already spiritually blind. When she asked again what would bind him that he couldn't move, he told her, "Well, you have to use new ropes. And if you use new ropes, then it'll take all of my strength." And again, the same scenario happens as the last time. And he awakens and he breaks the cords and he whoops them all. And then Samson gets a little closer to home the next time she asks. "If you braid the seven things in my hair, all my strength will be taken away." And Delilah lulls him into a sleep, and she gets the man to come, and he wakes and he whoops them all. And then finally he tells her, "Well, if you cut and shave my head, my strength will be gone." So she lulls him into a sleep, and the men come and shave his hair. She yells, "Samson, the Philistines be upon you." And he wakes up. He doesn't even realize that doesn't take him long to realize, but he doesn't realize when he first wakes up that it's gone. They take him, they gorge out his eyes. They bind him with fetters of brass. They put him at a grind wheel where he went round and round. Blind, bound, round and round. He was blind, say it, blind, bound, round and round. One point today. You know, the devil and Delilah are a lot alike. They will make themselves attractive to you. They will constantly try to find and seek to find the one thing that will bring you down, the one thing that will convince you and get you to go back to that old nature, that old man, to remain down, to sap your strength, to confuse your good godly thinking until you are defeated, or until you die trying to defeat it. When and if they finally bring you down, you will be nothing but a mockery. There are a few steps to this process. First, you will become blind to truth. You can be blind and see everything around you. Yeah, you sure can. You will become blind to truth, and spiritually blind. Truth that you have believed for years, you will begin to doubt. Things you once stood strong for, you will begin to waver on. Your attitude towards God, towards church, toward your pastor, towards your church family will begin to change, and you will soon become judgmental and critical. And then, number two, you will become bound. You will become bound spiritually. Your once exuberant worship becomes a quiet whisper. And well, I just don't want to offend. Study the history of the church. Study the history of different denominations. Most all of your major denominations at one time had exuberant, open worship. There was nothing wrong with praising the Lord and singing praises to God. Now, many of their assemblies you go in, we have to be prim and proper. Pardon me. I'm serious. It has completely changed. I just want, like Pastor said, I want God's anointing. God, for 2014, I just want your anointing. You take control of that. I don't want a program or a sketch. God, I just want your anointing just to flow over us. Let our hearts be sensitive to you. Finally, when you've become bound, your victory will be gone. Your testimony will be lost and forgotten. And third, finally, the devil puts you on the grind wheel and you go round and round. Can you just make a circle over there for me, Brother Kevin? Just go round. There you go. Blind, bound, and round and round. You can never find satisfaction at this point. You'll try anything to get the void filled in your life, but nothing will work. Your life will become a roller coaster ride with lots of dips, but very few high points. You will have become blind, bound. You're still going around, buddy, and round and round. And that's all you can do. He can't run a marathon like he is. He can't come to you individually and greet you and say, hey, how are you? You look great today, because he's blind. He's tied up. He doesn't have many options in the state he's at. He doesn't know right from left. You feel me coming, don't you? I can take him and pull him. Come on, come with me. I don't want to hurt you. Here, I'll pull your arm. Come with me. Just trust me. You're following me. We're not going to walk into nothing. He's blind. He's bound, and he's round and round. You know what the devil wants to do to every one of us? He wants us to live for God like this, blind and bound and round. We come to the house of God, oh, hallelujah, we had good service. And then we walk out the door, and he's leading us. Well, let's go back to that old habit. It's okay. We can get away with that. And he leads us around. We're blind, bound, and round we go. I love you, Brother Kevin. But when you come to Jesus and you begin to say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Lord, I've been a bad boy. I've done some things I'm not proud of, God. You see what's beginning to happen? Chains and the ropes that hold us back begin to come off. They don't come off all at once. It's a process. It's a process. They don't just drop off, and the devil doesn't just, you know, stop attacking your mind. He continues to attack your mind. But we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.